As we come to the end of this liturgical year, we celebrate the great feast of Christ, the King. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, the beginning of another year of grace as we move through the mystery of Christ's life and his grace active within us. So in today's feast, we happily acknowledge the sovereignty of Jesus as King and as Shepherd. But what an unusual King, and what a strange Shepherd, because he reigns from a throne of the cross, and his crown is made of thorns, not of gold. Today's first reading reminds us that God comes in search of us, that God is looking for us. It's the astonishing good news of all of the scriptures. And in Jesus, we see what that search and that concern and that compassion look like. And so Jesus' great parable, the Good Shepherd, we see the illogic of God's love. Because what shepherd would leave 99 sheep in the wilderness and go look for one stray? Wouldn't common sense tell you, right off the one, stick with the 99? That reminds us that Jesus doesn't think like we do, that he loves each one of us as if we were the only one, that in his ministry, in his death, and in his resurrection, we see God come in pursuit of us, to seek us out, to save what was lost. And the apostles, and the sick, and the poor, and the women who followed Jesus, and the sinners recognized in the Lord a fresh hope, a new opportunity, a new proclamation of God's love for them. And so their encounter with Jesus so transformed them that from the day of Pentecost forward, they gave their life to proclaiming the sovereignty of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and resurrection as the new meaning of human history. We can never forget that Christianity came to birth in the context of the Roman Empire. And so the early Christians were faced with a fundamental choice, often, to either give up their faith or to give up their life. Because the emperor demanded that all citizens worship him as if he was God. Obviously, a Christian could not do that. Because if Jesus is Lord and Savior and God, then no one else is. And so Christ's power and authority relativizes every human authority and power. And human power is only good to the extent that it serves the great cause of love and of human flourishing, not self-aggrandizement. And so the church is filled with those early martyrs, those brave women and men who faced death rather than to give up their faith. And the paradox was that the more the government tried to stamp out the church, the more it grew. Because people were so inspired by this group of disciples who were willing to give up their life rather than their relationship with this Jesus Christ. And so they flocked to the church. In today's culture, there are so many idols, so many isms, so many false ways of thinking that demand our allegiance, to bow down to them. We are here this morning to reassert our conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is crucified and risen. He is the meaning of our lives. He is the fixed point. He is the North Star. He's the one that we model what we think, say, and do on. And there is no other. And for that we give thanks and praise. Today's gospel reminds us that at the end, when all is said and done, we will be judged by how we loved the poor and the sick, the imprisoned and the hungry. In other words, how did we imitate the Good Shepherd who didn't wait for the needy to come to him, but he went in active pursuit of them? When I was in the parish as pastor and would be overwhelmed with administrative duties or personnel issues and just needed some good therapy, I did one of two things. I either went over to the school to spend time with the kids, or I went to visit the sick. Because both of those encounters always put everything back in perspective. To go to the sick, or to the children, or to those in need, always relativized my petty concerns, took me out of myself, took me out of my little world with myself at the center. Is that not what service of the poor and the sick and the needy do for us? It takes us out of ourselves, plunges us into the glorious world of the risen Christ. And so the best way that we can acknowledge the sovereignty of Jesus is to serve the poor, to love the lost, and to seek out the broken, and to allow the Lord to conquer whatever inside of us is dead, whatever inside of us has lost hope, whatever inside of us is still sinful and not under the sovereignty of Jesus. And so today's second reading says that Christ must reign and put all things under his feet. And so we ask the Lord to reign in our heart and soul today, that the Lord may find his kingdom within us, and that whatever in us has not yet surrendered to his sweet yoke of service may do so, so that we can be free. For the Lord has come to set us free from sin and death, and today's feast reminds us of that glorious victory that we already encounter in this Eucharist. I've preached on this before, but when people ask me what heaven will be like, I always say it'll be like the perfect Mass. Those who don't understand Mass look at me and think, well, it's got to be better than that, right? But heaven will be the perfect Mass. Because what do we do here? We gather around the table of the Lord. We worship and praise God. We love him. And we're joined as brothers and sisters. Is that not what we're going to do in heaven? So in a sense, when we come to the Eucharist, we've already stepped into heaven. We've already entered into the kingdom of Christ. Granted, it's limited. We still live in time and space. We're still sinners. But we get a glorious foretaste of what is to come. That moment when indeed Christ will have put all things under his feet, and he will hand the kingdom over to his Father, and God will be all in all. Let Jesus Christ reign. May his kingdom find a home in our hearts as we seek to do his will and to be his disciples.